Welcome, welcome, welcome to Do It All in the Mall, where you are listening to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by doitallinthemall.com. Today is Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Baku Design, broadcasting out of Tampa, Florida, with guests speaker Stephanie Whitfield Lott out of Houston, Texas, with Why Does Love Hurt? And her topic this evening is the ins and outs of mental health and relationships. Join us in this evening's conversation by either calling in or Skyping 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. If you have a product or business, we would love for you to bring it in to doitallinthemall.com, where all our entrepreneurs can be found on the homepage under the client's carousel of Do It All in the Mall, which has been in business for over 13 years and is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores for all your needs. You can shop while listening to entertainment anywhere you are. You can make a difference, not only nationwide, but worldwide. So take a tour, peruse, and shop. First, we're going to start out with a clip, Couples Discuss Mental Illness. And then on the other side, we'll have a short commercial, and then we're going to talk to Miss Stephanie.
When I first met Corey, I was really, really honest with my ADHD struggles because that was something that any guy dating me would have to understand because they would often mistake ADHD struggles for actually, like, just not caring or not wanting to call back or stuff like that.
And I did.
I have depression, anxiety, and body dysmorphic disorder.
I've actually been dealing with depression since I was 12.
I dealt with depression as well.
I deal with, like, a pretty high level of ADHD and a strange type of anxiety disorder that happens to me at night.
I deal with anxiety that really just kind of came up within the past few years.
I had a large weight gain my senior year of college. Once the weight started packing on, my depression started.
Definitely, you know, had waves of depression.
I don't ever think there is a right or wrong time to bring up something that you're dealing with, such as depression. I think that first you need to establish that connection with yourself.
I think my turning point came when I realized that I wasn't letting myself be vulnerable, and I was allowing it in every other area of my life besides relationship.
With Kevin going through his own separate issues, he was a little bit more harsh, he was a little bit angry, and then I, going through my issues, were very sensitive. And so we kind of came together, upset at the same time, to help each other work through it.
I was like, I'm a little crazy. I think that was just like that much. And I just mentioned that I do therapy. So I had right pretty much out the gate.
It's good to be understanding and just like listen with open ears. Because a lot of the time when I feel like there's an issue going on, I let them know. And after we talk about it, it's not as big and bad as what I was thinking in my head.
The times where, you know, you will bring what you're struggling with to me, the pressure on me is just to react in the right way. And often the right reaction I find is just to listen.
If you're not feeling happy, it's so easy to like put it on the other person.
Yeah.
And in a way they're gonna help you out, but you should come as far as possible.
Mm-hmm. I feel really empowered managing my mental health because I really hit my issues in therapy and in writing and have other outlets. And then I come back and I feel like a stronger version of myself, which makes me better in my relationship.
Our communication is better. Like, we can realize what's going on without saying it so much now. If I see that he's angry, I see that he's upset, I kind of know what to do or what to say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was basically with me when I was crying for like several days straight, having a completely illogical panic attack.
I just tell her that she is safe, she is loved, and she is doing big, big things.
Huge.
The fact that we have these very, you know, open just channels makes me feel like there's nothing I can't bring to the table that I might be going through anytime.
The few times in our relationship that have been the most impactful and most intimate and have made us grow the most, they have come of some of the most awkward and weird moments.
Absolutely.
Talking about something as severe as depression can build you guys stronger and build your bond.
I think it's important to remember that nobody's perfect. Like, you can be in a really happy, healthy relationship and have your stuff.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
And we will be right back and hear from Stephanie on the other side of Andra Day, Rise Up, in a quick commercial. Andra had written this song for the Orlando Pulse shooting for those who struggle with different issues like cancer, depression, and whatever other mental, physical, and emotional situations we may be dealing with. I just love this song. I play it and just keep repeating and repeating. It just seems to hit home because it just seems like it just grabs me. But here we go with Andra Day, Rise Up.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountains. We gon' walk it out and ooh, mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. For you, for you, for you. For that we have each other.
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.
And as I bring in Stephanie, please call in and join us at 845-241-9985. You can ask questions and speak on her topic, the ins and outs of mental health in relationships. Mental health issues are on the rise these days, especially with COVID-19. Being locked up for days without being able to get out and takes a toll on relationships. Mental abuse, physical abuse, what else? Divorce. So let's listen to a short clip on how mental health affects relationships, and we're going to bring in our guest, Ms. Stephanie, on the other side of this clip.
Visit the Merck Manual. Full access without fees or ads. Thousands of topics written by medical professionals.
Mental illness. The quick facts. What is mental illness? Mental illness includes a wide range of disorders of thinking, emotions, and/or behavior. There are many different types of mental illness, and it can be short-lived or long-term. Sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference between mental illness and normal worry or sadness, but mental illness is more severe, lasts longer, and significantly affects a person's ability to cope with life. Almost half of adults experience symptoms of mental illness at some point. Depression is very common. The main treatments are medicines and counseling. Family, friends, and support groups can also help people cope with mental illness. What are the types of mental illness? Mental illness is really many different disorders. These disorders fall into broad categories, including anxiety, mood disorders, such as being too sad or too excited, schizophrenia, personality disorders, and obsessive-compulsive disorders. Other mental health disorders include eating disorders, stress disorders such as PTSD, and suicidal behavior. What causes mental illness? Mental illness is probably caused by many things in combination, including inherited factors, life stresses, the environment and culture you live in, and health problems that affect your brain. Many stresses, such as losing a job, getting divorced, or taking too many drugs, increase the risk of mental illness. Certain health problems that affect a baby's brain, such as complications during birth or a brain infection by a virus, increase the risk of mental illness later on in life. Mental illness doesn't occur because people are lazy or irresponsible. It is not something people do on purpose. Symptoms are different depending on what kind of problem you have. They may include major changes in personality or behavior, especially if they happen for no clear reason, confusion and cloudy thinking, odd, disorganized thoughts, such as jumping from topic to topic or answering simple questions with long, confusing answers, inappropriate behavior, such as undressing in public, seeing or hearing things that aren't there, believing things that aren't true despite strong evidence to the contrary, and extreme moods. How can doctors tell if someone has a mental illness? Doctors diagnose mental illness by talking to the person. Sometimes they'll also talk to caregivers or family members. Sometimes it's obvious that symptoms are caused by a mental illness. For example, people insisting that they're the president or that their thoughts are being controlled by a radio implanted in their brain. Other times, it's hard to distinguish mental illness from normal reactions. For example, it can be hard to tell normal grief from depression after the death of a spouse or child because both involve sadness and a depressed mood. Likewise, the line between being neat or orderly and having obsessive-compulsive disorder can be blurry. Any dividing line is usually based on how severe the symptoms are, how long the symptoms last, and how much symptoms affect the ability to function. Doctors have made a great deal of progress in successfully treating mental illness. The main treatments include medicine and talk therapy. For most mental health disorders, a combination is more effective than either one by itself. Other treatments include electroconvulsive therapy and transcranial magnet stimulation. In the past, people with mental illness were often placed in institutions or hospitals. Today, people are more likely to live productively in the community. But many people with mental illness still don't get the care and support they need.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Miss Stephanie. Welcome, welcome, welcome on our topic to the ins and outs of mental health in relationships. How are you doing today, Miss Lady?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Happy after Easter.
Yes, happy after Easter to you and everyone else listening. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, 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 yes. So go ahead and let's dive into the ins and outs of mental health and mental illness.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yes. So mental illness. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. You know, back in the day they would be hush hush, and it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. And I'm a counselor, elementary school counselor, and
mm-hmm.
I've also done some extra work with working with people with schizophrenia and different things like that. Because when you have to get your hours, you work with different groups. So,
okay.
According to American Psychiatric Association, 50% of mental illnesses begin by age 14, and 3/4 begin by age 24. It says 1 out of 5 Americans suffer with some form of mental illness. And without the right treatment, it can cause, chaos in a relationship, And sometimes you have people that are in denial. So what is a mental illness? A mental illness, according to the American Psychiatric Association, is health conditions involving changes in our emotions, thinking, our behavior, or a combination of all of them. Now, can't go around thinking, okay, since my emotions are off today, I think it's off today, I have a mental illness. No, it takes a little more than that. It takes a little more than that.
Okay.
But, yeah. are you talking crazy? No. The mental illnesses are associated with distress and our problems functioning in social, work, or family activities, Okay, so that's what we're talking about when we're dealing with mental illness. And this is a sensitive, topic because people don't know how to, tread that sometimes. For the person dealing with it, if they haven't gotten treatment, and the person who, a loved one who's dealing with someone who has a mental illness, not sure what to say, what not to say, and how to navigate that. And so you definitely shouldn't do that alone.
Right.
And one thing is you have to.
That is so true.
You have to be authentic. You have to tell your truth, not hiding things. Because if you're not telling the truth and you're hiding, what's going on with you or how a person is dealing with someone who seems to have those type of symptoms, then it's going to be chaotic. Because at the end of the day, mental illness or not, none of us are perfect. All of us want to be loved. All of us want to be appreciated and accepted. We just sometimes got to figure out with our uniqueness how to do that,
How to do that.
So, Okay, and so mental illness, when we're doing mental illness and mental health disorders, it refers to a wide range of mental health conditions. We talked about the mood, the thinking, and behavior. And some examples of mental illness are depression, anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, eating disorders, and addictive behaviors. I've dealt with some, I shouldn't say dealt, I don't want to say dealt, like I have had the pleasure, how about that? I've had the pleasure of counseling with young men and women who were schizophrenic. And it was a learning experience for me. And when I was speaking with some people who had schizophrenia, the one thing that they said is that they wanted to be treated like everyone else as much as possible.
Like everyone else.
They didn't want people to look at them funny. And saying when they were getting their treatment, and taking the meds that they need to take and getting the proper treatment that, that they could live a successful life. And like one young lady,
sister. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, please tell me, your sister, what we'd like to hear about experiences. Go ahead.
Because my sister, what had happened to her was, it was a strange thing. She had gone out with her girlfriend to a club, and somebody put something in her drink. And ever since then, she had never been the same. So we had to deal with whatever she was going through and the things that she would do. Like you say, you want they want to be treated, you know, the same as everybody else. But she did some of the strangest things. She would holler at my mom, you know, just holler at my mom, but would be nice to my dad. You know, she would just, she slapped my mom and slapped her glasses off, and then the neighbor saw her, so the neighbor had to come and make sure that my mom was okay. And she'd throw herself down on the ground, and then want my mom to come and help her get up. It's like, okay, my sister, she used to be small. She used to be like probably about 105, 107 pounds. At the time that she had passed away, and we still don't know to this day what she passed away from. I think it was congenitive heart disease. She was probably close to 250 some pounds because I think of medicines and things that she was doing. But she would, you know, she would have her sons take her to the store, and she'd be in the store, and they'd be wondering, what in the heck is she doing? She'd be in there eating a whole thing of cinnamon rolls. Just eat the cinnamon roll, not knowing any difference or anything. It's like, and so we had put her in the different places and stuff. And it's like, you know, that was been like the hardest thing for my mom and dad to do, because she was living down in California with her husband and sons, and she'd look at the TV, you know, and see babies and think that that's her son. And so it's just, you wouldn't know how to, you know, you don't know how to approach, you know. Want to know, am I still married? You know, she won her wedding rings because she wanted to know she was still married, and, you know, things like that. And, you know, are they going to take my babies away from me? You know, it was hard. It was really, really hard to watch her go through that. But, you know, so then we brought her up to where we lived in Washington State, and had her going through different, I don't know what you call it, facilities, I guess. And then once she got to a certain place, they took her out of that facility and then put her in a group home. But then she was always fighting and was, you know, always combative and stuff. So she had to be taken out of there. So it's just like, you know, I guess, you know, trying to get medicines right so that the person's mental stability and mental state was fine so that they could live with people. And so, you know, it was hard. It was so, so hard to see her go through that, you know. And you know, she'd look at me, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. I said, sister, you're so pretty too. You are pretty too. And then, you know, it was hard. So, you know, I understand you going through taking care of, as you say, schizophrenic patients. But as a family member, that's even harder because my mom and dad, they weren't the youngest of spring chickens and everything, you know, trying to take care of her and everything. And so I don't see how people can do it, even though that they are, what do you call it, educated in that aspect. But it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was really, really hard. It seems like every time we have these conversations, I have somebody or something to talk about. But it was really hard to see her go through those stages of her life. Really, really hard. So, yeah. But it all started with somebody putting something in her drink. And, yeah.
And she's everybody's system is different. You just you know, never know. Like, even think about when you take regular medicine. Some medicines, some people have some of the side effects, some have other. And it's okay, well, try this one. So we're almost like guinea pigs, even though they've given medicine to different people before. Everybody's body is different, how they respond to things. So you just never know. And I say strength to those who have a mental illness, and then the ones who, family members and friends who are, you know, supporting of them. So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it's almost, medicine is almost like food, because what your body can handle as far as food is concerned, maybe my body can't. So it's the same as medicines. What your body may be able to handle, my body can't. And so, you know, and that's just how you have to kind of equalize medicine so that you can, we call it, sustain life and have a normality in life. It's hard. I just applaud people who are in this field, because it's not easy. It's not easy seeing people go through all this. I like I said, I bow to you, take my hat off to you, applaud you. It's hard. And then now the things that people are going through, you just never know. All these killings and stuff, it's just,
I'm sorry. I always think I was taking over your show. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. No, go ahead. We want to hear. No, you're not. You're fine because you have personal experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was like for a summer that I was counseling, patients who were schizophrenic. Like I said, I'm an elementary school counselor, and so I'm not, counseling students as far as I know that have schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly adult
men
and women, and we have our group sessions, and like I said, that number one thing, they want to be treated as normal as possible, and they understand that,
mm-hmm.
that they have some
mm-hmm.
things that are a little bit more challenging, and as long as they're taking their meds and they're staying on top of their treatment, then they can live a fulfilling life. You know, there might be some hiccup, but they're as normal as can be. I remember there's times I've never seen really anybody have an episode except for I do remember sometimes when we go into meditation, I remember someone saying,
mm-hmm.
the voices
mm-hmm.
are talking to me. So tell them right now you are busy.
Mm-hmm.
You're busy right now. Go back to your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We're focusing on
mm-hmm.
meditation right now. So, I did have someone that would, laugh, someone's talking to them, and that's,
uh-huh.
Part of it. So it's just, he was one of the only ones at that time. But other than that, I've never had
mm-hmm.
any other, episodes. Yeah. They're pretty.
Right.
Could have a conversation. A lot of them were very intelligent,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
okay.
And
so,
drugs, like you say, drugs would do it too, because you see all these
mm-hmm.
intelligent people walking on the streets, and they have
mm-hmm.
they have doctorates, they have MBAs,
yeah.
and yet somebody gave them some
mm-hmm.
drugs and just turned them out. That just bothers me. That just bothers
or
me so much.
Or someone's life experiences,
oh my gosh,
like they might have
me.
Family members pass away, and they just,
mm-hmm.
freaked out or just lost a job and just lost the, you just never know someone's story. We can always look at someone and assume, and you never know.
Uh-huh.
Even
right.
with the
that
movie, I'm going to say a movie,
because
I think a lot of movies can be based on life experiences, I mean, sometimes,
okay.
a lot of movies,
okay.
and so I don't know if you remember one with, what was it, The Family That Prays Together or something, where the mother,
yes.
African American mother, she had two daughters, and the Caucasian guy who would come to her shop, her restaurant
mm-hmm.
almost every day or in the evening. And he was homeless, and the daughter didn't understand. And he used to be a top,
yes.
I think a top person in was an accountant or something. I don't know. He was he used to be
he was an accountant.
Wealthy. I really
yes,
wish,
he
but
was
think,
an accountant.
Yeah, and he would
mm-hmm.
help her to invest.
Get her taxes,
and say, hey, you should hit this one, don't hit that
mm-hmm.
one. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
she helped him, to motivate him, and he eventually decided to get his life back together. But I think he had lost his family and everything, lost his motivation, and all that. So you never know someone's story.
Yes,
sometimes
you can't. You can't turn people away, but
mm-hmm.
you don't know what they may do if you turn them away. So in that aspect, what do you do when you don't know what to do? I guess that's a song, isn't it? What do you do when you don't know
when you
what
don't
to
know,
do?
You say it again. You said what happened when? Say it again when you turn them when you want, you don't want to turn them away. But say that part again. I missed that part. Say that last part again.
That's okay.
What do you?
What do you do? Right. What do you do to help somebody? What do you do when you don't know what to do?
Well, I say one thing: you pray. Another thing is if you're able to have a conversation with them, see what's going on with them, so that you can go seek help. There's professionals for almost everything. Who's been dealing with different experiences,
right.
And so go get that support.
Right.
And if it's okay to say, I don't know. The best thing a person can tell
mm-hmm.
me is instead of telling me a lie, if they don't know,
mm-hmm.
say, I don't know. But, I'm going to see if I can find someone who's going to help you. Don't just come up with something.
Right.
Because we
right.
are, we're not
right.
expertise
right.
in everything. And so we're all different. We have different things that we're good at. And so, if there's something that I might, okay, I'm not so sure about this. Let me go ask some questions. Let me get someone who studies this, who knows, who understands how to
mm-hmm,
deal with this
mm-hmm.
situation. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So some different types of mental illnesses. There are different ones. There's the three main ones that they have. Disorders are anxiety disorders, major depressive disorders, and bipolar disorders. Sometimes with bipolar, you have an up and down, very high, or sometimes you're very depressed. Other types of, mental disorders are eating disorders, personality disorders, post-traumatic stress disorders. A lot of times that may be it's military, but it doesn't necessarily have to be military. It can be situations where you have some kids who, you know, if they're live in a neighborhood and they're constantly hearing gunshots, they've seen people get killed, they can have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. Talk about that, the George Floyd situation with that young girl, the 9-year-old. That's going to be, impressed on her mind forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and the gentleman who broke down on the stand. I'd be watching all that stuff. I'm sorry, I'd be watching it. And he just broke down cried and says, I don't have a mother either. You know, my mother's gone as well. But it's like, you know, he just, you don't know what people are going through.
With Floyd and also with all the shootings in the schools, all those shootings, post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome,
Okay, and so don't they have counseling? Because I know they always say, you know, you have grief counseling and counselors are going to be on hand for, you know, blah, 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 blah. And even in time for death, when my father passed away, because the hospice people, you know, they said, you know, for the next year and a half or however long, you know, we're available for you to come and talk to us because you never know when it might hit you, you know, that you may need somebody to talk to, you know. So it's good to have you guys on hand. Yes.
Because you can be angry, be sad, be in denial. I mean, just all kinds of things. You can go in different orders. You can, just never know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And suicidal. Let's not talk about suicidal. Suicidal stuff. No, we won't go that far. No. But I know my brother, my younger brother, he doesn't like going into hospitals and stuff. And it was hard for him and my oldest brother when my father passed, and so I know that they were going through some things, and it's just, you know, but you know, I don't think they wanted the help, but then come to find out now, my older brother, he's got a case of dementia going on. So I'm thinking that has been going on the same time that my father was going through his bout with cancer. So I mean, not that I have a messed up family, but
it's life. We all go through all types of things.
Exactly.
It's life.
Exactly.
You just don't know.
And
you know, it's interesting how some people say, well, if this happened, I wouldn't do this or that. You don't know what you do until a situation hits you. We don't know. We can have all the plans in the world. If this happened, that's what I'm going to do. And maybe you will. But a lot of times you don't know how you respond until it's you. Because a situation can happen.
Right.
And somebody might respond differently than you. You just don't know.
Right.
You don't know your mindset that time. You don't know, you know, you have no idea.
No. You don't know how strong you could be.
Yes. When we're talking about anxiety disorders, those are including like panic disorders and OCD, you know, obsessive compulsive disorders and phobias, you know, like spiders and small places and claustrophobic and all those different things. There's also, like we said, depression, bipolar disorders. It's like depression, other mood disorders, you know, the eating disorders. There's, you know, the personality disorders. And then the psychotic disorders include, like, schizophrenia. So, you know, so many different types of mental illness.
I have a question before you go on. I have a question. So is like borderline personality disorders, does that fall under this as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you're talking about personality disorders, all types of personality disorders.
Okay.
They're just being general, like pretty much personality disorders, yes.
Okay.
So what are some this is the three major ones. The most common, I shouldn't say major, common are the bipolar, the major depressive disorder, and the anxiety. Those are the common ones. But the other ones I listed, those are mental illnesses too, or disorders. Okay, so what are some symptoms of mental illnesses? Okay, so some symptoms can be, you know, problem thinking, you know, like maybe concentrating, memory, our logical thoughts, speech, you know, that are hard to explain. Like you were telling me sometimes, like, different things, maybe actions and stuff that your sister was doing, you didn't know what mm-hmm. was going on.
Well, I mean, during the time I knew what was going on, but, you know, because it was more progressive at that time, we knew she had been diagnosed. So it's just that the things that she would do, so I understand where you're going. So, yes. But, yeah, the things that she would do is like,
thinking is off different. Then you're like, what is going on? Yeah. And something was going mm-hmm. on. Then mood change, rapid alternative shifts in emotions, that are pressed feelings. You know, maybe one minute you're fine, next minute you're like, what is wrong? Why were we just, you know, saying happy birthday and she just got mad and freaked out. You know, just look at those things. I mean, depending on
or
if they're going
crying.
Through something, but just if it's, if it's, now if they're pregnant, so mm-hmm. some people might say, oh, she's, you know, has a mental illness, and hey, she might be pregnant or something. I don't know. I'm just really, you know,
right,
see if it's consistent and see what's going on. Yeah. Then sometimes withdrawal, you know, where you have the social withdrawal, loss of interest in activities. Maybe they could be really
uh-huh,
depressed,
uh-huh.
Or maybe even a usual, you know, dropping like in function like school and work or social activities, quitting sports and different things like that. So these are some signs and some symptoms. Increased
mm-hmm,
sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sound, smell, or touch. Maybe yes, it's a loss of, you know, desire to participate in activities. Maybe feeling disconnected, like a vague feeling of being disconnected from others in your surroundings. You know,
mm-hmm,
unreality,
mm-hmm.
illogical thinking. We talked about that. Like exaggerated, unusual beliefs about powers. Illogical
mm-hmm.
or magical thinking. Like usually, you know, that a child would think, but you think it as an adult. You know, nervousness, a fear of suspicious, a strong nervous feeling, or it's just odd, peculiar behavior. These are some symptoms of mental illnesses. So,
interesting.
So, what are some causes of mental illness? Some causes could be genetic. You know, sometimes it's in the family. And that's why it's important, I think, to have a conversation and, you know, about our families, you know, to know what was going on. Sometimes there's so many secrets, so much of, you know, this nobody's business. We need to keep it to ourselves. And then one generation doesn't tell the next. And maybe two or three generations down
uh-huh.
the line, they're wondering what's going on, where did this come from? It's not in my family. And it probably was, but they never
mm-hmm.
talked about it. Remember that uncle or cousin that's in the back
mm-hmm.
room that no one ever talks to? Oh, don't worry about him or her when they really need treatment.
The thing is, you know better when you know better.
But I want to add a piece to it, though.
Right.
You do better when you know better, but you
mm-hmm.
also have to know how to apply it. Because you can know better.
Right, right.
But how do I apply this? How do I do better with this? You know? So it has to be that third part.
Right, right. And see,
yeah, so,
and as you talk about that, like drinking, you know, you know, that, you know, somebody may have stopped, but then yet another generation may have taken it up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's stuff,
a good,
you know,
another good background to find out.
Yes, and the thing is, too, when we do all these things excessively, that can give us our chemical imbalance, and who knows what could happen to our mind. Also, environment can play a part of it. Environment. I think about, you know, when some of the environment, think about the war. Think about what we just talked about, the trauma from George Floyd, the trauma from, you know, gunshots or, you know, different things like that. Some of the stuff that some of our people went through back in the day, burning crosses in yards and the water hoses and stuff like that. Think of all that and even with slavery, being raped and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then come now
mm-hmm.
in 2021. No, we have not been slaves, but some of the mindset. So and so, think about it, we're talking about so and so had so and so who had so and so. Some of that is in us.
Mm-hmm.
People might say, "Oh no,
our
it's
minds
not.
Are
when
enslaved."
The doctor,
mm-hmm.
Yes, when a woman's pregnant, the doctor says, "Don't stress. Everything that you do can affect the baby." We're mothers. You know, we have a womb. Our children are womb. What I do
right.
today could affect generations down the line if it never gets worked on. If there's no treatment, and people want to think that
right,
oh, that's
right.
way back in the day. We're a product of our past.
No.
a lot of the issues
there
that people
go.
Deal with today, it's a lot that they can't move on in the present or in the future because of their past. So we have to stop acting like, oh, the past is an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. We have to look at that, deal with it, acknowledge it, and we have to find ways to treat it so that we can move on in the present and then be able to move on in the future. A lot of the people who are dealing with who can't move on today is because of their past, but they don't want to acknowledge the past. They want to wipe it clean like it didn't happen. And we have to. We have to get to a point where we're saying, I don't like to face it, but you know what? Let me break down in the tears. Let me get down on my knees and pray. I have to go through this. If I don't go through it, it's going to deal with me later, and it's not going to be good because I wasn't ready for it. Let me confront it.
Right.
And even though I feel like I'm not ready, let me hit it head on. Let me confront it and deal with it because this is what I'm getting ready to do right now. I'm having my mindset to do this. But if I don't and I hide it later on, it's going to hit me hard. And it's going to be a lot harder for me to come back from.
That's true. If we don't, And then sometimes, you know, it's sad that we can't ask our parents because they're not here anymore. You know, so if a young child's parents pass away early, you know, you don't know how this child is turning out because they're acting out. Does that make sense?
And then also some of the ones that are still alive are refusing to say anything because of what they were taught. Of what they were taught that, no, I'm not going to tell you because, and a lot of times I think, oh, well, you don't need to know because that was going on with me. No, I need to know because it might, you know, could happen to me or I might be dealing with it. But, I'm doing it by myself because no one's opening their mouth.
Right. Got to find something out.
There's also childhood trauma. Think about people who maybe been sexually abused, that's trauma, or someone who's been physically abused, or the silent one, verbal abuse. You know, on the outside, oh, it's talk about marriages or childhood. Oh, he buys her everything she wants, or she, you know, does all these nice things for him, but they don't know how he talks to her. They don't know how she talks to him. They don't know how they talk to their person at him. You know, you stupid, MF, and da, 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 da. But then you see them buying shoes and you see them, you know, taking them on trips and smiling. They say sticks and stones may hurt my bone. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. But words will never hurt me.
Sticks and stones may break my bone.
That's a lie. I didn't take it a lie.
Never hurt me.
Because those are what hurt the most. Because wounds heal.
Because
you can see that wound. And you might say, okay, think about when someone physically harms you, yes, it hurts at that time, but that pain of that harm, that pain that you feel is going to subside. Mm-hmm. But that memory from it, or those words that were said are going to stick with you.
Right.
So,
it's like being whipped. You know, it's going to hurt, you know, and you're going to have the wounds and everything, but those are, you know, outward pains and outward wounds. But, you know, when you delve deep down and, you know, you get called this and that, just like racism, you know, let's break that chain, you know, of racism, you know, because it's going to keep on generation through generation through generation and that hatred. And it's like, it's not, you know, until that chain is broken and just done away with, it's just going to keep on and keeping on. And it's like, it's not going to be cute at all. And the same thing with mental health, as you say. If we don't know how to treat the situation, it's going to keep on until we figure out how the situation needs to be treated.
The childhood trauma and then also stressful events in life. Stressful events like, COVID. Some people, you know, COVID and just even like even when people are in prison or in isolation, you know, talking to themselves and going crazy. Because I think how God made us, in order to spread His love, we have to be. I think we're made to connect with each other, to be intimate with each other. And I don't mean intimate sexually. I mean just even conversation. You know, we're made
correct.
For that.
Yes,
I think that's why when we get to be now, there's a difference between I need some time to myself versus you know, there's no one ever to talk to. So
right.
Yeah.
Mm, mm,
And so some of the stressful situations can be like losing a loved one or being in a car accident or, you know, negative thoughts, unhealthy habits, like not getting, you know, it's just like not getting enough sleep or not eating, drugs and alcohol, abusing drugs. Those things, those are some things that can trigger mental illness too. So when you always have a mental illness and then you're, you know, abusing drugs and alcohol, you're not getting enough sleep. So it's important to, you know, that you're eating healthy, that you're getting the exercise, that you're, if you're on meds, taking meds, that you're doing things that that you're loving in your things to that you enjoy doing things to that bring joy to you. Like I said, medicine,
right, that you enjoy
if that's
doing.
What you're supposed to take. Was it counseling sessions and taking care of everybody, those types of things. Yes. It's very important. And this other silent film. Sorry.
It's okay.
So that, yeah, so, yeah, so different causes of mental health. So, yes, I wanted to take him outside as I'm talking to you guys. But, yes,
it's okay.
A lot with mental health. It's very important. I can't stress how important it is to have those, you know, conversations with family to begin to see what's going on. Because if you have some type of behavior that's peculiar, then it's good to go to get that checked out.
Right, right.
And also not just for those who have a mental illness. But those who love them, the family and friends, it's very important for them as well to get that support. We always go to get support for our, when something's physically wrong with us. Why can't we do it when something's emotionally wrong with us or mentally wrong with us?
Because we're afraid of being talked about. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say that, oh, they're crazy. They have to go to therapy. They're crazy. So, you know. Don't talk to them. They're crazy.
Yeah, but then in the meantime, they're draining themselves and it's becoming more chaotic. And the person who's saying that is probably one of the ones that you need to take along with you.
Mm-hmm.
They probably need to go too. So, hey, come on with you. You know, And sometimes you have people who don't want to deal with their issues. They're too afraid to deal with their issues. But if you don't deal with them, they're going to deal with you. And some people say, I don't need to. But they're drinking excessively, not just drinking for pleasure. They're drinking excessively, drugs excessively, having sex, excessively. Just anger, talking to people crazy, all these different types of things that says, look, I need some help.
They don't know how to get it.
No, that's not a normal thing. They need to go get some help. You don't have to be mean like that. You don't have to be nasty and have constantly have attitude like that. Go see how you can get help. It's human nature.
That's a cry for help.
It's nothing. That's smart. That's a smart person. And then you don't even have to go to, if you don't, the counseling, when you have a problem. You can go as a preventive because the person, some people say, I don't want to go to talk to someone who doesn't know me. That's the perfect thing you need to do because they're going to give you a true answer. They're not going to be swayed because they know you. They've studied the mind.
They're not
going to
judge you.
No, they don't know you, but they listen to what you say objectively versus subjectively and just trying to go with your side and give you interventions and strategies on how to see what if you're dealing with anger. You're like, okay, you haven't, but you've seen how people, when they get angry, they stay hitting walls and they yelling and screaming and cursing or they fighting because you don't like something they said. But they're teaching you different ways of how to deal with your anger so you won't hurt yourself, you won't hurt others, you won't hurt property.
Right,
because as adults, kids don't need to do it, but especially as adults, we definitely don't. We're too big to be doing all that. We're supposed to tell the kids, you don't need to be acting, don't be fighting this and that. We're telling that to them, but look what we're doing. And then they'll say, oh, well, you should do what I say, not as I do. But they might be trying to listen, but because of the patterns, what they see is what they're eventually going to do. Or someone might possibly do that to them because they might try so hard not to do it to someone. We have to be better role models when it comes to that. Because
sometimes I'm going off the subject a little bit. As adults, we think, okay, I can do what I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. But we affect the next generation. There has to be some accountability, because if we act a nut, act a fool, the next one will. And then you'll say, well, I don't know why they act this way. Look at the example. Look at the example.
Exactly.
Or if they say, okay, I'm not doing that, but if you're not giving them rules and regulations, then, yeah, they will.
They don't know what else to do.
That's why you got to go get some help. Go talk to someone. Go get some help. And then if you have someone and you don't like how that therapist or counselor is, get someone else. Get someone who's
there. You go. You can always change.
Those type of, yes. If they want to.
Mm-hmm.
If they, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mental illness is not a joke at all.
No, it's not.
Mental illness is not a joke at all.
Yes, and I think, too, it's important. I mean, what do you feel about this? Do you think, let me ask you, what do you think? Do you think if someone has a mental illness and they're beginning to date, that they should disclose that? I'm not saying the first thing, oh, by the way, how are you doing with a mental illness? I don't mean like that. But at some point, that person knows that they have a mental illness, that they should let that person know?
I would think so, because then that person would, I would, because then the person who, if they love you for you, are going to help you through your mental illness and make sure that you get the assistance, the help, you know, what is needed to make you a better person, or make you a person whose mental illness is, I won't say subsided or subdued, but, you know, because then if both of you go to a counselor for that person's mental illness, then you'll know better how to deal with it on both sides. You know, you won't get mad and leave that person. And then that person who has a mental illness is like, you know, do some harm to themselves. So I would say, hey, you know, and that's what it was on that couple's thing. She told the young man, she said, hey, I have this, 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 and this. And he still loved her. You know, that was at the beginning of the couples with mental illness. They told each other about what they were going through so that they could better deal with what they were going through. So, you know, why are you going to hide if you're going to be with somebody? You know, then all of a sudden that person who has mental, they start drinking, you know, or they start doing drugs, or they're gone for days and you don't know, well, I don't know if that should call the police because so-and-so's been gone longer than, you know, so-and-so hours and everything. It's like, well, if you know that that person needs space, oh, you know, I know that they went to blah, 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 just to blow off some steam or what have you. But, yeah, I would think so. I would. I mean, you know. It just open up yourself to be that book so that the person who's going to love you and who you're going to deal with knows how to love you and deal with you in all aspects. That's me.
Yes. Yes.
What about you?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we don't, you know, we just don't know our own. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was listening to you. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's definitely not easy on both ends, the person who's going through it and the person who is trying to be that support. But I think it's important, like you said, at some point you have to have that conversation. And hopefully they say they want to work through it. If they do, wonderful. If they don't, that's hurtful, but, you know, you deserve somebody who's going to be someone that's going to want to stick it out with you. And it doesn't mean that,
there you go.
You know, they don't care for you. It just means sometimes they might say, you know what, I don't know if I have it in me to be able to handle this, and that's okay.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Just like, what was it, on the first 50 days or whatever, the one with, Drew Barrymore and I think Adam Sandler?
Mm-hmm.
Where, I don't know if you remember that movie where, I think that's the movie where she, you know, she couldn't remember everything, so he had to videotape everything.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yes, and
yeah,
all that stuff.
Constantly, yeah.
So he still loved her, and, you know, for the way for her to get through or him to get through, he just videotaped everything. I think that was wonderful. you know,
because
he loved her that much to help her get through what she needed to get through. And, you know, for his, I guess, mindset as well, because, hey, it's hard. It is hard trying to deal by yourself. And if you can't do it, find a way to do it. If you want to, you know, if you love somebody enough, that's how I see it. That's just how I see it. So that's just how I see situations. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a counselor or anything, but I just try to use a lot of common sense the best way that I can.
Yeah, and I'm a counselor, but I'm definitely not an expert in mental illness by any means, you know. So,
But I mean, you've probably had at least some teaching or some training as to how to deal with it, or the, you know, what direction to send somebody to deal with it, right?
Yeah,
okay.
And know some people that we need to go talk to these people, and they have support groups, support groups. Sometimes you know if you're the caregiver, the partner, you're like, okay, hi, I'm being as supportive as I can, but I need some support, I need some help, and that's okay too.
There you go, that part right there.
Also sometimes you just never know your own strength. You just never know.
Hey, you never and I know that that's one of the songs that we're going to be hearing in after a while. So you know, do we have any other causes of mental illness?
Do I have any what now?
Other causes of mental illness? I said, do we have any other causes?
No, we talked about them. Remember, we said genetic, environment, childhood trauma, stressful events. We said certain things that
and
can trigger
unhealthy
it.
Unhealthy habits.
Yeah, those things that can those things can trigger it. Like you're not getting enough sleep, unhealthy habits, not eating, drugs and alcohol. Those things can trigger it. So pretty much genetics, environment, childhood trauma, and stressful events can cause mental illnesses. Sometimes it's in the family. Mm. Sometimes it's environment. Sometimes it's things that happen when you're a child. Sometimes it's just like stressful events.
Right.
It's just, you know?
Things that trigger these mental, you know. And maybe another thing, but I'm going to play the song from Whitney Houston, I Look to You, and then we'll have, because sometimes all we have is each other to look to. And I'm going to ask you about multiple personalities and stuff. I don't know if that's part of mental illness, but we'll hit that on the other side.
Okay.
Have I laid me down? Heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. Open door, and every road that I take.
Daryl's Cookies was founded in 1981 on Midwest values, innovation, and big ideas. Their homemade taste, fresh ingredients, and the same level of care you use when baking for family is still alive today in everything they make. To talk to us today is Kim Matthews. Kim, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So, Kim, tell us what makes Cheryl's the best for business gifting.
Our cookies, brownies, and cakes are all individually wrapped, which makes them perfect for sharing with groups. Additionally, our exclusively designed business packaging really makes a statement. Whether sending one of our delicious gifts to recognize an employee, thank a customer, introduce yourself to a new client, or celebrate a life event, our delicious and personalized gifts are always warmly received, no matter the occasion. Our dedicated team of sales managers work directly with different types of businesses of every size to create individualized programs and help find the perfect gift for every occasion and need. We have the pleasure of working with thousands of businesses. We can ship anywhere in the United States and even to Canada.
And business branding is so essential now. What kind of customization does Cheryl's offer?
We are able to customize gifts with a specific theme, color, logo, or message. We can also print on ribbons, labels, hang tags, gift boxes, and gift tins, and can design and build specialized gifts.
Well, finally, what are your most popular offerings?
We are well known for our buttercream frosted cutout cookies and our specially designed hand-crafted baked goods. Our customers love sending our bakery assortments that include a selection of our most popular products, and our gift towers are very popular and make a great impression.
To plan your next delicious gift, visit Cheryl's.com.
And you can visit Cheryl's.com under the stores on the food and drink section of Do It All in the Mall, or you can type Cheryl's Cookies in the search bar. They are so fresh, and they are sent nationwide and to Canada. Yum, 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 yum. You guys can call us at 845-241-9985. Let's Do It Radio listeners. And we would love for you to join the conversation on the ins and outs of mental illness and relationships. I'm going to play this short clip on how mental illness affects relationships. Then we will be back with our guest, Ms. Stephanie.
This week's mental health tips are about how mental illness affects relationships. Hi, I'm Angela. I have a husband with bipolar 2 disorder, my kids have ADHD, and I myself have struggled with depression. You're not alone. Why should we care about the mental health of the people we love and interact with? In the United States, almost half of adults will experience a mental illness in their lifetime. The other half still need to care for their mental health. Let me slow that down for a second. Almost half of adults will experience mental illness in their lifetime. We all know someone or are that someone who could be struggling at any given moment. Having a mental illness, even if we share the same mental illness, is as unique as the individual who experiences it. But there are some common ways that it impacts us. When we look at mental health, we can break it down to emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, act, feel, how we handle stress, how we relate to others. If we want to have relationships that are loving and safe, then we need to address mental health in a way that will help us acknowledge the impact of mental illness and educate ourselves in empowering ways so that we can learn how to process our emotions, have healthy boundaries, and learn to collaborate with those that we love. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. How is mental illness?
Yes, 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 yes. So welcome back, Ms. Stephanie, with our next part of our the ins and outs and in the mental illness in relationships. Go ahead.
Yes. So you were going to ask me a question about multiple personality disorder?
Well, I guess when people have different personalities, is that a mental illness?
Yeah, remember because we talked about personality disorders. Remember that was one of them too, the personality disorders.
Right,
that was a...
But I mean, Right, but I mean, if somebody has different personalities, that's considered, I'm just asking because I'm just trying to figure out. So say, for instance, I may be Susie one day, I might be Bill another day or another half hour, or I might be Timmy and then come up with Sandra and Cassandra and then Cinnamon and, you know, so all those people within me, is that a mental illness or is that something else? That's just a question.
No, that's a mental illness. It's a psychological condition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that can be caused by trauma during childhood.
Okay.
Yeah, that different thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's almost like a...
Okay.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's almost like a thing where it's almost like a protective, you know, mode. You know how they have the different personalities where sometimes they have names. This is Sarah. She's more, you know, laid back. So-and-so is more aggressive. She can handle it today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's almost like a protective thing. Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, it's called
identity disorder, which was known as, was previously known as multiple personality disorder. So, yeah.
Okay. I learned something new today. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay,
so the second half, we're talking about, you know, you hear people saying so-and-so had a nervous breakdown, so... What is a nervous breakdown? A nervous breakdown is also called a mental breakdown, and it's when you have extreme mental or emotional stress. And it's stress that's greater than the normal, that where you can't do your day-to-day activities. You're not able to do the daily activities because you're in so much emotional distress, okay? So what happens when you have this, you experience like sudden extreme, prolonged stress. You feel like you're losing control of your feelings. You give in to anxiety, into the worry. You have nervousness, fear, and just stress. So it's extreme. That's when a person has like a nervous breakdown. And like I said, my ex husband, his I guess it's like a sister to him. Her husband passed suddenly. It was years ago. He passed helping someone on his day off. And when they took her, they'd known each other since they were younger and got married and stuff. And when they took her to the hospital and they got there and she saw him, she had a nervous breakdown. When I saw her that I think it was that night or the next day, she was out of her. Her eyes were glossy. She's better now. But that was like her true love, you know. She known her for years. They're like very good friends. You know, had kids together. And
trust me.
It wasn't like he was sick. It's like sudden, you know. So yeah, she was out for a bit.
Because I think that happened to me.
That happened to you.
What happened to me? What happened was I was supposed to be getting married. Okay, and the gentleman I was getting married to, I guess you can call it a nervous breakdown because I just didn't know what to do. And my mom had a slight stroke or whatever. And so, during back in the day when we get married and everything's in the paper and still, you know, so-and-so's announced to get married to so-and-so and blah, 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 blah. Well, he wanted to stick to that date. I said, no. I said, I want my mama at my wedding, so can we wait? And he said, no. I said, well, I guess we're not going to get married. So I took my ring off, put it on the bed, and I walked 11 miles from my apartment, from Mom and Dad's house. Boy, I had everybody coming out there, and I just couldn't take it anymore because I loved them both, but I still wanted my mom at my wedding, and I wanted, you know, still wanted to get married to him. But, you know, that's another day, another time. But that next week I said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. Yeah. And so I had gone to a place and I stayed with some friends. And I don't know how he got on base, but he got on base and found me. Boy, oh boy. It's like, So, I mean, I just couldn't, and I usually don't break down that easy or that often, but that was, that's my mama. You know, I want my mom at my wedding. And if you can't have, if you can't take the time for her to get better from her, you know, having a stroke, or what have you to, you know, us getting married, then I'm through. I'm done.
I don't blame you because that's very selfish. You know, if that means something to his soon-to-be wife, then what other agenda did he have going on to where you have to hurry up and get married, you know, what?
That was back then. That was then. This is now. And it's so funny because I threw the ring at him. I mean, and then it went on for a little while longer. He jumped on the front of my car and was trying to hold on to my car, and I'm trying to get him off my car.
I'm done. Would have been going on in that marriage. Now you dodged a bullet.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, he reached out to me the other day. It's like, okay, we good.
Oh, my God.
It was, yeah. No. We're still cordial and everything because, I mean, I don't hold that against anybody and stuff. But, you know, he just loved me so much he just wanted to marry me. But still, child, please.
But you
not
have to,
today,
he has to consider what your feelings were, though. He had to consider what was important to you, though. When you're loving a person, you got to consider him. No, not just what you,
And that's why you had asked about, you know, earlier in the conversation about, you know, if someone has a mental disability or mental illness, would you tell someone? And I'm thinking that he may have had some
issues. Who knows? I wonder if he was not. I don't know if he was not conditioning or not. I mean, I know it's the thing that we use nowadays, but. See, within this world, it's like it's showing its ugly face, narcissism, a lot nowadays. Maybe we just didn't pay attention before, but
it is.
Everything's about me, my bag, just everything. You know, almost like a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum. It's mine. It's all about me. It's all me. We're supposed to be past those stages.
Exactly.
But sometimes we're not. We have that chronological age, but. You know, mentally, sometimes we are 2-3. I hate to say that, you know.
Yeah.
We
do recess. We do recess.
Mm-hmm.
Recess and regress. We do.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with mental illness back in the day, I hate to say it, they used to say, oh, so-and-so's crazy or don't pay them any attention like they're not human or this and that. So what are some things that people should not say to people who are mentally ill? What are some things? So I have a thing.
Well, you're crazy.
There's 10 things that we should. Yeah, that's one thing. Another thing you shouldn't say, oh, it's all in your head. Well, it's not that easy for them.
I was
going to
say,
because we're.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you out of your mind. You so crazy. What is wrong with you? You're not wrapped too tight. I mean, that's what I usually say to people. You just ain't wrapped too tight. What's wrong with you? You lost your mind?
Yeah. That,
you know, things like that.
Yeah, and they're not help. Yeah, if you know they have a mental illness, and even if you don't, and then come on, things could be worse or snap out of it, or you have a great life. You always seem to be happy. Think about some of those people who are celebrities, and some people say, oh, they have all the money. What they have to be sad about? Well, the thing is, you have people, some of them, not all of them, who have money doesn't negate the fact that some of them had childhood trauma. Some of them were human like anybody else. They had different issues going on before they got rich, while they're rich and wealthy. You have some people, you know, they don't can't tell if you're really their friend or if you want something from them. They can't tell, you know, if this person is just, you know, that they're working with is just a yes person because they want to get paid or they're really down for them. Some of them have childhood trauma, you know, from their past, maybe their mom or dad. And some of them have good lives, too, don't get me wrong. So it's not everybody who has money that has a bad life.
Right.
I'm not saying that. But we have to sometimes they might not have the financial problem issue, but then again, do they really? Because they can have all this money and have all these beautiful things, but because they have all these expensive things that cost so much, they constantly have to go after the bag to keep them because everything costs so much.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's
so
true.
I think they say there's a lot more issues. You have your normal issues like most people, plus you have the issue of how do I constantly pay for this stuff? I got to constantly get more money because this stuff is expensive. So,
Yes, that is true. That is true. And we did have a caller come through. I think it was our friend Patrick from Canada. I think he hung up on us. He may call back because I know a lot of times he was having issues. But go ahead and proceed. Go ahead. I'll let you know.
Oh, yeah, and there's other things. Like some people might say, oh, just get some calamine tea, or everyone gets a little down and moody sometimes, you know, or, you know, this too shall pass, or it's all a part of God's plan, all these different things, you know, we have to be sensitive to others. I think in this world sometimes, if it's not happening to us, then sometimes, not all the time, then we can't, we have to have more empathy in this world. We can't, if it's not happening to us, or it doesn't, or we're not sensitive to it, then, oh, you're saying too much, or you're just so sensitive. You know, things like that people will say to other people. I'm going to get off the subject a little bit. But we have to remember, they might not be as sensitive. Whatever they're sensitive about, you might not be sensitive about that particular thing. But best believe there's something that you're sensitive about. And whatever it is that you're sensitive about, you don't want somebody to touch on that. So we have to be, you know, very, very careful. So-and-so wears it, feels their sleeve, you got to be hard, you got to be strong. But being hard, is that really the right thing to do? Because you're hiding your feelings deep down. You're really not saying what's going on inside, are you? Maybe you are, but when you're being hard, you're it's like you're not, how can I say it? That's when you can cause heart attack. Those are things, times when that extra stress can cause heart attacks. It can cause other health issues because you're not, you know, getting it out. Is being strong necessarily keeping your emotions in? Is that the best thing?
You.
Is that truly being a strong person?
Yeah, it just, it brings stress upon you because you're suppressing it and you're not letting it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're not voicing it. So, you know, if you don't talk to somebody or talk it out, it's just going to eat you up and eat you up and eat you up. And like you say, it's just going to be bring worse health problems onto the person that is being suppressed by, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the thing is that it's sad we have such a big problem with people being human, meaning I hurt. I feel disrespected. But sometimes they say I'm disrespected, I'm angry, which it might be. Also, I'm hurt. I didn't appreciate that. That's being human, crying. That's being human. Now, when you get to the point to where you're crying to the point where you're not living life, then that's another situation. You know, it's a relief when you're crying if you need to cry. It's a relief. People, oh, be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cry. Everybody has cried. Even if you've cried in your sleep, if you've cried when nobody's watching, you've done it. All of us have tears. Now, I understand how society says, but society is a big liar. Society, generally speaking, doesn't have morals, doesn't have values, and it's full of crap. So why are we following society? You know, society is like the blind leading the blind. We have to get back to our morals, our values.
True.
We have to get back to that. We talk about kids and going, you know, you can't go into all that peer pressure. But adults do the same thing. Do with somebody else's. Oh, because they have this, I want this too, because everybody else. Why? Do you really like it? Maybe you do, or maybe you don't. If you don't, why are you going with it? For what? They don't know why they're doing what they do. Why are you going with it? For what? What's that going
to
do for you?
Just make them look better on to the other person when it's not necessary. Be your own self. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Don't try to be a follower. Be a leader and do something that's going to benefit you and not, you know, make you look better. Do something that's going to make you look more intelligent.
Everybody else? How's change going to come? How are we going to better things if we follow everybody else? And some of the people that are being followed don't know what they're doing, and then we have other people following them.
Right.
But
that's
then when someone stands out and does something that's original or something that's honorable, people want to talk down. I guess because they're like, maybe on the other side of it, they're saying, you know what, deep down, maybe I'm jealous of the fact that you are actually standing up for yourself and doing something that's honorable. And I just don't have that strength to do that. I want to follow everybody else and everybody like me when I know this is not about anything.
See, they just, that could be very well could be. Because, I mean, because you're the person who created something, all of a sudden, everybody's looking at me now, and I'm the boss. But it's not always about that, because every time you may be the boss, it may not always be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the last president. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Talk about that today. Go ahead.
Yeah, so some of the things that we should be sensitive towards others, you know, because it's been such a negative connotation when it comes to mental illnesses. But we have to begin to treat each other better. We have to. We need each other. We do, regardless of people.
You
I don't need anybody. No, you need you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
I know. The devil's
a lie.
Yeah, both.
Mm-hmm. The truth ain't in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So now, how does mental health affect family life and relationships? That can be something else. It can cause stress on both sides. It can be cost the family emotionally. You know, they can be deeply affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
and
you're paying more attention to this person, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. Because I was saying that because mom and dad is paying more attention to Jimmy and me more than Johnny. And so Johnny goes out and does stuff just to get attention and takes away the attention that Jimmy needs. It's like, no, that don't work. You know, you need to, you know, come and let us come do this together so that we can help Jimmy. And Johnny, you want to get as much as attention when you do something good for Jimmy. You know, don't hurt Jimmy because he doesn't understand what's going on. You need to help Jimmy, correct?
Yeah, you're right.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Some people with mental illnesses, they might feel inadequate and just have a lot of anxiety, you know, low self-esteem. And then with the person who's mm-hmm. in a relationship with them, that can lead to both people not getting their needs met, you know, and not being able to bond.
Right,
so
right.
It's important to get that help. It's also important to not look at them as a, how can I say, you don't want.
As a burden?
To have the risk of codependent behaviors. You don't want those codependent behaviors. So it's important to go and get help for whatever specific mental illness they have and see how can you be helpful to them. I know I was watching Teen Mom, and there's a young lady who has mental illness. I can't remember which one it is. And so she would, you know,
mm-hmm.
go and get counseling and go get help, and there's a couple of times where she had to go seek treatment. And they had to talk to her husband about there's sometimes he had some resentment because they had a daughter at one time. She got pregnant again, but she had a daughter with her husband, and well, she had two. One they put up for adoption when she was younger because their home life was not good, but it was like an open adoption, so they still
okay.
see her. And then they had a second child where mm-hmm. they were at a better place, you know, and they were able to take care of that one. And she mm-hmm. was, you know, going through her depression and different things like that, and she had to go seek treatment. And so that means that he felt that he had to help handle her, deal with his emotions, and deal with their child. Not deal, but, you know, he had to handle all three, so he did not have his needs met. So she came home, he was like, okay, you know, good, she's coming home. He was getting the help, you know, to take care of
mm-hmm.
his child. He's getting his partner back. Then she went back because she became suicidal, and he was like, she was like, look, I can't be good for you and our daughter if I'm not good for myself. And I, at some point it seems selfish,
right.
but yet on the other side of it, it's like, I can stay here and try to be here for you guys, but I might not be here because if I'm suicidal, I need to go back. So she did, and when she came back home, he was like, look, I love you, but I need some time away. I got to figure out, you know, what I need. And so he went away, but they still communicated,
right.
and she was there with the child. And what happened
mm-hmm.
the second time that she went to get treatment, and then with the time that they spent away, they still communicated because they had the daughter, they talked. But he was, like, living in
mm-hmm.
another house. She was able during that time to gain her strength. So when he came back finally, she was like, I was thinking, you know, at first I, you know, I was depending on you, and I was, you know, suicidal, this and that. And she says, if I wanted to make it because I love you, but if not, I can do this by myself if I need to. And so I think
right,
that made
right.
him feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It made him feel like, yes, I have my wife back. She's strong enough for herself, and then if I need her, she's there for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can be here for myself and I can be first. Mm-hmm. He had a partner. She was able to, within that time, to gain her strength to where she's not codependent
Good. Yeah.
on him. And that took a
right,
lot of weight
right.
off of his shoulders, and it also made her mm-hmm. be grow. And so they're, you know,
yeah,
like their marriage is a lot better
mm-hmm.
now. He has a partner where he doesn't have to carry everybody. And that's why it's important,
right,
you know?
Right,
so he was like, you could see in his eyes
there
when she said that, you know, but he'd be like, well, you don't need me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, in his eyes, I think he was like, yes, her strength, yes. Woo, I don't have to hold everybody up. So, yeah.
That's the woman I married.
Yeah, yeah. But she has gone through a lot of trauma growing up, and he did too. His father wasn't there, and his father was a drug addict, and then her
uh-huh.
mom was a drug addict, and she's recovering, and her mom's doing a lot better for her. His father's still in and out of jail. And so it was just like a lot
uh-huh.
that was going on when she was younger, dealing with things. And so things are a lot better now. So dealing with all that, yeah. You know?
Oh, good.
So
good.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very,
important to
know the limitations, to know, you know, how I don't want my help to hinder them, because I want them to be able
right.
to get through them. And sometimes you have to have some tough love, but you have to know what's tough love and when, you know, not to have tough love. Yeah. Like, remember with Tyler
gotcha.
Perry and his wife on that movie, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, the movie? Remember when his wife was a drug addict?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, you know, she came back
yes.
to the house. Like, no, unless you go get help, you can't come back here. Because he would always take her back, and then she would leave or take money. And he got to the point where he would say, you know what, I love you, but I love you enough to you got to hit rock bottom, and you got to
go
help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she finally started turning around, when she's like, oh, shoot, wait a minute, they're not playing with me. Hold up. Yeah.
And she did. She got better. And, you know, I like
yeah,
that.
She
I
did.
Like that part of the story. Mm-hmm.
Yep, she did.
I like that part of the story. I sure did. That was a good one. That was a real good one.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, wow.
So what do you think? Yeah, so what do you think about these? Okay, so mental illness. And so sometimes when people are, I don't know, when it seems like it's so fine line between mental illness between a mental illness and just some bad habits, you know? Like, you might have a situation where you feel like maybe somebody is narcissistic, or maybe someone is, depressed, or, you know, deeply depressed or anxious. And then there's a time
mm-hmm.
when you have someone that, versus someone maybe who's had some bad patterns versed on their past. Maybe they've seen someone, but you know what? Maybe they've seen their mom or their dad get beat up, and that causes trauma. But that can be their post-traumatic,
mm-hmm.
you know, syndrome. So I mean, I think it's just like
that,
a fine
yeah.
line, because childhood trauma
mm-hmm.
can cause some mental illness. So,
Yes, it can.
I was just thinking out loud.
Yes, it can. I mean, when you've been through so much, I mean, you could have been, you know. You know, as a woman could have been sexually abused, and see somebody get beat down, you know, your mom get beat down. Because I have a friend who, his father would always beat his mom. And it's like, man, and she had four boys. And so she took care of them boys. It was like, mm-mm. And then he would just beat the mom, and evil. You know, sometimes
that
plays.
Trauma.
You know,
he probably had some things going on with him too. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's just crazy. And so, the gentleman that I'm talking about is like, no, you know, I don't want to be like that in my family, because I want to break that chain. I don't want to, you know, be a wife beater. I don't want to be, you know, drink alcohol. I don't want to be that way. So I got to change. And it's hard
yeah.
to, you know, because that plays a part in your mind. Then he saw his grandmother, the love of his life, you know, get killed by the dad or the granddad or somebody. And so it was like, man,
uh-huh.
you know, that plays. That's
so
why you say that stress, that
trauma.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
uh-uh.
yeah. It's It is. It's a lot of trauma and, you know, a lot of things that people hold and they don't want to talk about. And then once you get to know them, they break bread with you and start talking about, you know, their childhood. But, you know, it's like, it's rough. It's hard. It's really hard. It's so hard. I don't know how they deal with it, but I had a good family. That's all I got to say. I mean, I think I had a good, well, I guess every family has their...
You know what? All of us, we have our family that we have our ups and downs, and everybody has some issues from the best of the families. You know, nobody's family is perfect. Yep. So.
So there's some five tips
on how to have a relationship with someone with a mental illness, you know? So some five tips are learn to love yourself, you know, better. So this is something you can get educated. Educate yourself and your loved one and your loved one's diagnosis. Make sure you get the your best to get the most up to date information. Encourage and model self care and wellness. Like, you know, things that they can do for themselves that they enjoy, things that you enjoy. You have to make sure to take care of yourself as well. You know, be a safe person.
Mm-hmm.
Do not love alone. I mean, you know, you can't just be the one that's loving them. They have to, you know, you want that. It works both ways. And go to counseling, seek support groups. You know when to take a break, when you need to take that break.
Yes, take a breather. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Also, learn to monitor negative self-talk. You know, if a person's, make sure you're monitoring maybe theirs the best you can and even your own. Practice healthy communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Embrace your independence. Still have some things that you do. You know, don't, I got to go with so-and-so because I don't know what they're going to do. They have to have some type of independence. You have to work towards that. And then have a support plan.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much like know when you need that break. And I think also there's some people who are able to stay in a relationship with people who are mentally ill, and then there's some people who aren't able to. And it's just a matter of being honest. You don't want to bring false hope to a person who has mental health issues. I'm not saying that should be, oh, they have mental health issues. That may not be with them. Everybody needs love regardless. And just because they have a mental illness does not mean that they can't be loved or deserve to be loved. And like I said, as long as they're doing their best to manage it, and, you know, whether they need, you know, educating themselves, whether they're getting counseling, whether they're taking meds, doing self-care, you know, they I think they can have a healthy life. But it's having those conversations.
And they need to have a healthy life.
Yeah, we're all human. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we?
We need an outlet. We need a break sometimes. Shoot.
Yeah.
That's wow. That's nice. That's good information there. Just sometimes you just got to step away and just because or else you'll be in the same position as that other person. Correct.
Yeah, and then sometimes you can begin to take on some of the symptoms, you know, maybe not having mental illness. Sometimes you can take
that's
some of the symptoms.
That's what I'm saying, right.
Because you've been, yeah.
So you got to be a strong person to be able to take care of a person who has mental illness, a mental health
issue.
Yeah,
and maybe it's not
correct.
Even take care, because I don't know if a person who has mental illness wants someone to necessarily, I guess depending on the severity of it, to take care of them. If you have a willing adult and they're like, I don't need anyone to take care of me. I need support. But maybe it's not looked at of I need to take care of them like a parent does a child. I'm here to support. You know? They want to feel as an equal partner as well. It's like what adult wants someone to take care of them? Most folks are like, wait a minute now. I might need some support, but come on now.
Right. But I guess I'm just thinking of like, you know, dementia or,
and I'm not trying to come down
like
on
you.
I'm sorry.
Someone.
I didn't mean to come down on you. I hope it's not. Okay. I was just saying out loud.
Not at all. But you're right. You know, somebody who has mental illness, like you say, they don't want to be smothered. They want to be as an equal. They just want you to understand what they're going through. I guess that's what I'm saying. Not that. No.
Yeah. Cause they might go off or something, but then they have to work through that too. But
the other person doesn't need to get beat down either. It can't be like, okay, I know they're going through mental, you know, they have a mental illness, and they're saying all these things. Some of that, okay, we got to figure out what we can do because I know you have a mental illness, but we got to figure out some other words. This is not going to work because I can't get beat down either, you know? So it's like trying to find that,
right,
balance and trying to figure it out.
There you go. It's all about the balance. That's all a person wants to have, a balanced life. Balanced life. That's all. It's a balanced life.
As best as you can.
That's it.
And sometimes some people might get to have their mental illness to the point to where they might know when they have certain episodes. Okay, when this happens, I just need my minute, my time, or either just, you know, some people know.
They have those triggers, as you say, right?
Yeah. They might, or they might have a situation where they have a, you know, depending on the person, what's going on, picture, okay, I have my punching bags, I have my bicycle that I need to ride, I have this, and once I get that, I'm good, okay, I'm good. Now, I'm just saying, they might have certain things that they can put in place that they know when they get a certain way, they need to be by themselves, not totally, but, you know, do this certain thing that's not going to hurt themselves, hurt others, or destroy property, and they're good, and okay.
Right.
They're managing their stuff.
Yeah, punching bag.
And I'm not saying everybody
like
who's going to get angry and do that. I'm just saying, you know, that it's like
they have an outlet, basically.
Having a plan. Yeah, have an outlet. Having a plan for what you need.
Right. So that you don't go off on somebody, next thing you know, oh, I didn't mean to hit you. I didn't mean to punch you. Or you punch the wall and there's a big old hole and you got to find somebody to fix the hole or, you know, do all kind of crazy things. So it's good to have those outlets and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you never know. So, listen, I just need to take a moment, you know. I just need to take a moment.
And some
just
people
leave
have
me alone. I just need a moment.
Don't always have the fits of razors, different ones. Remember, there's some people that hit that real low, too, depressed, whether they're suicidal or they're depressed, they don't want to get it back. It's just, you know, it might be something where, hey, this person gets low, but there's certain things that, like, you know, entice them to where, like, they like the smell of flowers or something. Okay, they're feeling low. Maybe this might help. Okay, I smell this flower. This makes me feel good. Okay, my next thing, I need to do this. This makes me feel better. I mean, I'm just saying, have a thing, you know, self-help things in place. Or maybe this massage chair that I sit in helps with my mood. I mean, just putting things in place to help you get out of your own way, if that makes sense.
Right. There you go. That part right there. Get out your own way. Because sometimes you're your biggest, adversary anyway. I think that's the right word. Yeah. Wow. 5 tips on a healthy relationship while dealing with it. Okay. Let me see. Somebody else has joined us. Hold on a second. Who is this?
Okay.
Hey.
And greetings. And who is extension at 2968? Who just joined us?
2968. That's me. That's me.
Who is me?
Hello.
Who is me?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? This is Way Busy. That's what they call me, Way Busy.
Hi, Wade. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just called in at the right time, it sounds like.
And where are you calling from, Wade?
California.
Okay, welcome to the show. You joined us with our ins and outs of mental health and relationships. Have you been listening to the show at all?
Just a little bit.
You have
okay.
a question or a comment?
And,
do you have a question or a comment about mental health or mental illness?
Well, I know mental illness is a challenge to deal with, you know, and it's definitely a difficult time for a lot of people because my experience has been with mental illness is that they want what they want now, you know, and that's how they feel, right? But you don't have mental illness, okay? So you have to be responsible for, you know, life, okay? And so sometimes you have to tell people that are mentally ill, you know, you have to let them know that, yes, that's important what you're saying, but this is what's more important right now. And then you let them know that, you know, we'll take care of that later, but right now this is what's important. And I know it's not, it sounds easy, but it's not. It's not as easy as it sounds at times.
Do you mind me asking, what mental illness did you have that were you supporting at the time? What type of mental illness was the person dealing with or diagnosed with?
Well, you know, with a lot of work, you know, and speaking the language, you know, which is giving them a voice, you know, to be heard, there is somebody in that, inside of that body that has to have a relationship just like you do. So we want to.
No, I'm saying, do you know the type of, was it, what type of, was it bipolar? Was it, what type of mental
bipolar,
illness did they have?
Bipolar.
Do you know? It was bipolar? Okay.
Bipolar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot more involved than just what I'm saying now. I mean, I have to say that there's a lot of difficulty, you know, and it requires people's undivided attention. And if you're not willing to devote that attention, then you're not really going to be part of the solution, if you will, you know. Good intentions
right.
are great, but it takes a little bit more than that. It takes something that's I look at it as a spiritual, you know. That's the way I look at things, spiritually speaking. But I know that a lot of people don't understand spiritual things that are spoken, unless they're enlightened themselves.
Spiritual themselves.
Yeah.
You said at the same time. That's right. That is true.
So do you mind me asking, like,
and
what were
do.
Some of, like, the manic, the times when they were manic, what are some of the things that you would possibly see when they had, like, a man, like, when they were at their high?
They want to spend a lot of money, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Okay.
Mm.
So
yeah,
do you have to hide the credit card, or just?
Well, you got to just give them what they want, you know, and hopefully that'll go, that manic episode will pass by, you know, and you won't have to spend too much money, you know, but you definitely have to spend some money if you want
to
take care of it. Well,
mm-hmm.
I think it varies from person to person, if you ask me. I think because everybody has different backgrounds and everybody speaks a different love language. You know, some kids were coddled and held and kissed and loved. The other kids were just put in the car seat and, okay, we're going for a ride, you know. But, yeah, I guess it all depends, you know.
The kind of love that they received during their upbringing?
Well, you know. Yeah, all of us, you know. It depends on who you're talking about. You could talk about them, or you could talk about somebody that doesn't have a mental illness, you know, that their brain doesn't
with the manic.
It's
so what if your time you said, okay, you know, you can spend like 200. After that, that's the cutoff, the credit cards to 200 that you can't spend anymore.
Well, it depends on what you've been feeding, you know. If you feed the the narcissist, right? If you feed the narcissist,
the beast,
then you're going to be the little monkey, a little flying monkey for the narcissist, and you don't want to get caught up in that kind of thing either.
No, but if you give them a limit, then that's it. And then of course they might not like it, but yeah.
No, I mean, I would hope that that was something that was, you know, an ongoing thing. What you're saying should be an ongoing thing, so you can keep
some boundaries and limitations the best that you can. Yeah.
Well, boundaries, yeah, but how are you going to teach? You can't. It's hard. It's boundaries. Boundaries are, you know, everybody should learn how to establish boundaries. I feel that because they're there to protect us from people outside of ourselves who try to be controlling or manipulating or trying to, you know, and if you have feelings about what they're doing, you know, this is where it really gets funny, is that they exploit your feelings and you feel like that, you know, you're invisible to this person because they can't see you. They can't see you. And a lot of people are in that position and they do things in that state right there. And the world at large may not understand why they're doing what they're doing, but they don't understand anything. So you really can't even communicate with people outside of yourself half the time, because every time you open yourself up to somebody, they're doing just what I just said they do, which is not a relationship. It's bullshit, if you ask me. I'm sorry.
So you're saying when you're dealing with, you're saying with someone who's a mental, who has a mental illness, and someone who doesn't?
No.
You're talking about specific.
People that don't, but I'm talking about both sides at the same time, because I think that both sides need to take responsibility no matter how you dice it or slice it.
No, you're right. You can't just give in to everything, because then they'll never learn. And even though it might be more of a difficult lesson to learn, you still have to try. You know, you still have to, you can't just let things get, you know, things are already out of whack with maybe the highs and the lows. So we have to maybe try to have it come down at some point if we can manage it. We're trying to get it to a manageable point, you know.
That requires a lot of effort. I mean, you have to be willing to put in the effort. I mean, a lot of people don't have time to give to that, because it's a time consuming thing, and it doesn't seem like there's any progress at times. It just seems like if there's any progress being made, it's very slow. And then if you want me to jump on board, then I have to say that, you know what, nobody has the right to get in the way of progress. So I'd be defending these people, and then I'd be busy doing that.
Yeah.
You know. Not that there's anything wrong with what I just said. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. We're going to defend the people that are defenseless, and it's not their fault. They didn't sign up to be mentally ill. They didn't like sign up somewhere for it. So, but you have to have, like you said, there has to be some kind of boundaries, there has to be some kind of a control. Somebody has to be the facilitator to get them from this point to this point safely. And so you're bringing awareness to this, and that's a good thing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and you know, like I said, you know, it's like it's all about taking responsibility, feelings. And if you do that, you'll be able to enjoy the benefits of doing something that's positive.
Yeah. There was this movie, and I'm not, I mean, everybody remembers Sybil, but then there's also the movie, I'm not sure if it's Alice or something, a movie with Halle Berry played a character, and I think she ended up marrying her psychologist or psychiatrist. Do y'all remember that? I'm not sure if it's called Alice or not. Where she had multiple personalities. Let's see.
I think it's Sybil, yeah. I think that's the one you're talking about.
There's Sybil, but there's also another one with Halle Berry, like an Alice movie, and she had, like, several different personalities. There's a movie with Alice, I think. Let's see, hold on.
I'm looking on my Halle Berry Alice movie.
It's a movie. I'm not sure if her name is Alice. It might be just an
Alice
movie where
Frankie?
She married just, like, Frankie.
Alice, Frankie and Alice.
I think so. That's,
I haven't
that's a psychologist
seen it.
Okay, well, I can't talk too much about it then, because you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Well, no, it's fine. No, I mean, tell her. But Wade, have you heard about it?
I think you're talking, and I'm sitting there thinking the same thing. I'm like, yeah. But I'm thinking, well, maybe I don't know.
It says, Halle Berry plays the role of a young woman named Francine L. Murdoch, Frankie, with multiple personality disorders. The movie starts in Savannah. Blah, let's see, Rotten Tomatoes. Let me see if I can figure out more what they talk about.
Because she doesn't know what's going on
the
with
therapist.
Her.
Yeah, she was a stripper, treats a black stripper who has multiple personality disorders, including that of an imperious white racist. No, I haven't seen that one. I'm going to have to see that one.
Yeah, I've never seen that one either. I'm going to check that out.
I know, huh? Let me see if I can.
That sounds weird, though.
But she had multiple.
Let me see if I could read
how many years ago. Just personality, personalities. Yeah,
it came out in 2010. It was an hour and 41. A drama centered around a go-go dancer with multiple personality disorders who struggles to remain her true self and begins working with a psychotherapist to uncover the mystery of the inner ghosts that haunt her. So that's basically what it says.
Well, you know,
but it sounds like a really good. Go ahead.
A lot of that stuff is.
Wait.
Is you can hear me?
Yeah.
Testing on the mic.
Yeah, but
yeah,
we can
okay.
hear you.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of that stuff, you know, people go through stuff when they little, you know what I'm saying? When they little, they be going through all kinds of stuff. You know, the people, the adult folks don't really pay attention really to what little folks be going through. You know what I mean? I mean, they do, but they don't. They just don't know how far reaching those traumas are in their little lives. You know what I mean? Because it spills over into their adult lives. And then if you ever, you know, if you're an adult man and everything and nobody put nothing for you to stand on, they put you on the sand and life beats you up and everything, and you might be mistaken for something else, you know, like maybe they may think you're crazy or something, but you ain't crazy. You just been screwed, you know. But that's not because nobody don't love you. That's just because they don't know how to take responsibility seriously. That's all that is. But we get into that stuff later. You know, we get into that stuff later, but we got to get to these little kids first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of them, they just really stressed out. Just really just torn because they've seen so much in this day and age. It's so much either on television or I guess that's still in the news, but or even around them, you know, these traumas of these school shootings and seeing people die right in front of them or getting shot or, you know, things
Jesus.
Happening to them, being molested.
That's
you
what
know,
these people, that's what.
Seeing their mom get beat up or what have you, or their dad, you know, something to that effect. But it does. It happens a lot to young kids, and it's like, does anybody really reach out to them to see how they feel? Figure out how they, you know, how they're doing.
Wow, you know what?
So,
you're jumping into some deep stuff again with these little kids. These little kids, these images be up in their mind, play out in their mind when
they play
the video game. They take it out on, you know, and they if these kids are feeding on this stuff all the time, it goes in the eye gate and the ear gate. They get all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What you think gonna happen? You know, you feeding this kid,
yeah.
So this kid could turn out to be some crazy person.
But then, Wade, listen. But the thing is, are they being monitored, watching these quote unquote video games that you do shoot 'em up, bang bang, and all this kind of
you
stuff, and all this bloodshed and everything?
Kid.
How no, but I understand that. Well, okay, you can't have the phone, you can't have a computer unless it's sitting out here with me in the front room. You know, that's what they used to do, is have the computer sitting out
that,
in the front room.
That only works for
but
a little
I
bit
think
of time.
Also,
only...
But listen, I'm not finished, but a lot of times these kids are their own, I don't want to say it, take care of their own self. They don't have the stability and the growth of parents because parents are working. Hey, Johnny,
yeah.
Go home. The food, you know, the supervision, that's it. Go home. The food is in the refrigerator. I got to go to work. And so you don't know what that child is doing. And I believe that that's what's happening to a lot of these other kids because they go home and they're not nurtured anymore. I mean, my mom was home with all five of us through our whole lives. And she didn't go to work until, I don't know how old she was, 60, maybe 70 or whatever, but she was there in the house and she took care of us. She spanked us. She took, you know, dad was in the service. So, you know, we had someone who we knew we were going to go home to. This day and age, it's, hey, Alexa, please take care of Johnny. Make sure he reads. Make sure he writes. Make sure he eats. Make sure this. Alexa, you know, whatever the other child's name is, Cortana, make sure that Johnny is doing his spelling. Cortana, make sure the lights are off at 9 o'clock so that Johnny can go to bed. Cortana, you know, it's the electronics. It's all about the electronics. And if we don't do something, if we don't break that, yes, the children are going to go off into and go into the Internet and get these things and say, oh, I wonder how this works. Oh, I'm, because these kids these days are not stupid. They got these folks doing, what's the word I'm thinking of, coding at 3 years old, 4 years old. So you know these kids are intelligent. And it's cause, and if we're not right there to sit there and watch what they're doing, no. Oh, Lord have mercy. I forgot. Lord have mercy. I got all involved in the thing. I forgot what I was doing. hold on. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I'm putting more time on this thing. I forget. No, I had to put more time on the thing or else we were going to be, I had to put more time on the clock because it had 90 seconds and I was all into what I was talking about. But no, but if we don't watch our children, if we don't have somebody for them to come home to, they are going to go off and do these things and become their own little soldiers and their own little, you know, idols and what have you. And it's sad to say, I think that's what's happened because we don't nurture our children anymore. We don't put our hands on them and give them that hug. Oh, you know, all I see is the top of a child's head. I can probably count the number of hairs on a child's head because they're into their phones. They're into something else. And you don't even know what your child looks like anymore. Oh, when did you get that mole? Oh, how long have you had freckles? You don't know your child anymore. Oh, I didn't know your eyes were this color. Oh, when did you get contacts? Oh, I didn't know you got a tattoo. Oh, when did you get busted up in your eye? Because we don't have that Dang. Conversation with our children anymore. Far out in left field and in the outfield that we forget we have children. Oh. Not no 10 seconds. I bet they not no 10 seconds. You know what I mean? So it's like, no, we can't do that. We got to make sure that our children are taken care of, you know, and have somebody there for them, you know. We need to have that. We need to have that.
If what happens with these women? What happens with these women? That...
Go ahead, Wayne.
What happens with the women Wait. That, yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah,
what,
I can
happens, what happens to the women that they don't have a daddy in the house, you know, they got no daddy in the house and then they got to raise the kids by themselves, you know, and what about the responsibility that they have to take and the fact that when they're parenting, they feel bad for their kids, right? Because they don't want to lose the affection
right.
of their kids, so they have to step in
mm-hmm.
and be more kind, more considerate, and all that, right? Now we start talking about kindness, consideration, and long suffering, and this stuff. See, most people don't point out this stuff as being like fruit. You know, this is good stuff. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
what people need. And you be giving the little kids what they need. You know what I mean? When you do it like that.
Okay.
But
so
understand
right.
that can
you
be
give
a hindrance
them
to your children when you're doing mm-hmm. all these extra things because you're trying to. You know, because of the other, in lack of the other parent not being there, you still have to give them, you know, boundaries and limitations. You have to still teach them to be a responsible person. Because if not, you're setting up failure. It can be chaotic later on.
Well, that's why
I'm going to say that.
I'm getting around to that because I have to say this first so you understand what I'm talking about later. But this is the thing. You beat me to it, though, but that's okay.
Oh,
you can do that. That's all right. God loves you.
We're not trying to beat you now. We're all trying to have a conversation. We're not trying to beat you.
Well, I got to keep up with the ladies.
Go ahead,
Wayne. Ladies know a lot about everything, you know, and I'm like, I'm just trying to figure this out. So
no,
don't beat. We cool.
No, we're not trying to beat you up.
No, that's cool. But look it, though. But, you know, it's all about, okay, I had a friend of mine I met a long time ago, way back in the day, and I was, unfortunate, just like he was. He was in the penitentiary,
uh-huh.
you know, doing our time and everything. And he's a really wonderful person. I met him. His name was Geronimo Pratt. You ever heard about him? Geronimo Pratt. He was civil rights.
No, I haven't.
Civil rights Black Panther back in the 60s.
Oh, okay. Maybe I have. When you say it like that,
yeah. Geronimo. I ran into him in the penitentiary and stuff, and we was walking around talking, and he was telling me all about some good stuff, you know what I mean? He was talking straight talk to me, and I thought he had his demeanor was so calm and smooth, the way he talked, and man, I just was like, it just made me want to listen to him, you know, like he was a philosopher or something, you know what I mean? But the way he talked was really making me listen.
Can you tell me what he was in for?
He was in for murder. They accused him of murder, but Johnny Cochran got him out.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny Cochran got him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away. You know, he got out of prison. He was in there for 22 years and stuff. When I ran into him, he already done a couple. You know, he already got a good chunk already done time. But my point is that this man, the way his demeanor was, the way he handled himself, the way he spoke about things, made me hear and see. You know, he was able to speak in that way where I can hear and see what he say. You know what I mean? And he just put a lot of value on because he told me he took me back to when he was a kid and showed me what was important, and that's to have a father.
Right.
He didn't really touch my heart, you know. I just want to continue that, what he done in my life, and share it with the world, because I think that man has a lot of wisdom and stuff, you know.
I brought him up.
Elmore. He's a wonderful man. A wonderful, wonderful man. I got to meet him and got to hang out with him.
What happens a lot of times when men go into prison. They come out changed because the men in prison help change them to be a better person. It's like, hey, bruh. Don't be like me. Change the way so that you can, you know, help others and teach others, teach our young men, teach our brothers and sisters, you know, the good ways of the world. And, you know, and he was calm because he could have been a mad black man as well, because he was wrongfully charged. But he taught you, and now you're here talking about him, you know, and he passed away in 2011. And so, you know, so he made an impression on you, which probably changed your ways to even help somebody else. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You know it, sister. You know it. I mean, I'm a white guy.
So
you know,
people are.
I said I'm a white guy.
I ain't studying you.
No, you're not.
You're Wade. You are not white Wade. You're not wading in the water. You just wade. I don't care if you're green, pink, silver, gold, have no teeth, have lots of teeth, have dentures, have no hair, have a lot of hair, have hair on your back. I don't care.
Hair.
You are Wade. We don't care. We don't care. We are glad that you called in and talked to, you know, and talked to us about, you know, your experiences and mental health. I mean, it's so funny because these people always call like at the same time, about 20 minutes before our show ends, and then we get into another hour of our show. So, you have to deal with mental health at all?
No, not me.
Nah.
I mean,
you just.
No, I'm pretty sound. Yeah, I got a sound mind. I'm pretty grounded. I'm an eschatology master, and I'm a spiritual advisor, and I'm also a life coach. Eschatology master.
Wait a minute, stop. What? Let me shut up. And what'd you say?
I'm an eschatology master. eschatology.
What the heck is that? Yes.
It talks about the end times.
Oh, eschatology. I just want to make sure that, okay, because trust me, I'd be looking stuff up. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L. Okay.
Yeah, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L.
I got it.
Yeah, eschatology master.
Seems so. So you're a changed person because of this Geronimo person. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you know, the guy is definitely going to – I have to give that man a props because he is definitely a beacon of light in my life. Yes, he has been a positive, and he empowered me with the same positive attitude that that gentleman possessed. And so, yes, I'm continuing on with that.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt
okay.
about it.
And for those of you out there, our listeners, you still can call in. You know, I don't care what time. I do care what time it is. But the telephone number, that's so funny. No, you can, and because this is a great conversation, it's 845-241-9985. And the definition of eschatology is a part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destination or destiny of the soul and of humankind. So for those, you know, out there who didn't know what eschatology was, because I had never heard of that, there's a lot of things I've not heard of. So I'm just glad that I can bring up these, Google it, as they say. Google it. Just go ahead and Google it, which I do. Because, heck, I don't know what these people are talking about. But it's good to have these conversations and what have you. But the conversation we're talking about tonight is the ins and outs of mental illness and relationships. And so I just think that this is wonderful. And I do have a clip on men's health, of the ins and outs of mental health. And I want to go ahead and play that for Wade while he's on the line. Do you mind?
No, Steph? Please do.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Remarkably, or maybe not, considering how guys can be, about 40% of us do not want to talk about our mental health, which is quite shocking, considering that actually talking about what's going on up here can actually alleviate a lot of our emotional problems. Survey, 77% of men said they suffered with anxiety, stress or depression. By far the biggest strains in men's lives were work, which accounted for about 32%, finances about 31% and health about 23%. The majority of men claimed that the mental health was having a negative impact on their work performance, parenting ability, as well as relationships in particular. 40% of those men polled said that it would take thoughts of self-harm or suicide before they would go to seek professional help. So the reasons why men don't talk about their mental health are:
I've learnt to deal with it.
I don't want to be a burden to anyone.
I'm too embarrassed. There's negative stigma around this kind of thing. I don't want to appear weak, do I?
I've got no one to talk to. Almost a quarter, approximately 22% of respondents, said they would not feel comfortable speaking to a GP or another health professional. The main reason being they felt this would be a waste of a GP's time, which is absolute nonsense. We're here for this reason and this reason alone. Literally no legitimate health concern you come into our surgery with is a waste of time. Each year across the UK, approximately 6,000 people take their own lives. Around 90% of those suicide victims have a mental health condition. And of those, the highest risk include middle-aged men with depression. Some of these men might end up becoming dependent on alcohol, which they possibly use as a coping mechanism, but eventually end up worsening their mental health and sadly has big impacts on their health, their relationships and their employment. Despite the overall numbers dropping in 2012, sadly the number of suicides in men actually increased. Figures from the Office of National Statistics stated that the highest number was actually in the age group between 40 and 44. For this age group, men were four times more likely to commit suicide than women. And sadly, in total,
This makes up about 77% of the suicides in the UK. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this figure is way, way too high. Whatever is going on up here, it's worth bringing out into the open. Bottling things up may be one way of coping with your mental health, but isn't the only way and certainly not the most desirable. So please, if you're feeling depressed, reach out to someone, but especially reach out to your doctor. We don't judge, we don't assume, and we listen and want to help. There are so many people out there willing to listen and wanting to help, and you'll find some links below on where you can get this. Remember?
What would you think of that clip, Wade?
Well, you know, I mean, he's you know, I think I don't know. I'm pretty much I got laser vision when I listen to what people are
okay.
saying. You know, yeah, and
mm-hmm.
so I look a little deeper than what people talk, and they don't understand that the lower you go, the higher you get. They don't get that. And they don't understand because
okay.
a lot of people have credentials to do what they do. A lot of these guys, these professional
mm-hmm.
people that prescribe medications for people, they have the credentials to do that. I don't have the credentials. I don't want to prescribe medication to people. That's not what I want to do. I'm not saying anything that's against anything about that, because I know a lot of people that take medication that seems to work for them, you know, it helps
mm-hmm.
them. But if they drink alcohol or they do any drugs, then their medication doesn't work properly. And that's a recipe for disaster. Well, it could be.
Right.
And yeah. So, but once again, we have to educate our people and in the way that they can follow the same example that you're setting forth, which is the energy that you have is what's going to entrain these other people to follow the example that's being set forth. So I think with a little bit of practice, I think we all can probably develop some good habits in this area, because I think a lot of us have bad habits, and if we were to be honest with each other, we could see that maybe we could do something, you know, in our own lives that would be a sacrifice for somebody else.
Stephanie?
Yeah, I hear what he's saying, and just mental illness is just, it's some complexities of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that has a family member or someone they know, they would see that it requires a lot of, most people that are like that they think younger. They act like they're only like 12 or something, you know, in some cases. No, I'm just saying, you know, it's like,
it's definitely a different mindset. It's just because they struggle, and then people who are trying to help support struggle with it. So it's just a matter of getting that education, getting that training, getting that support. And they mm-hmm. yeah, so yeah.
It's yeah.
But
yeah,
I think
because,
it's a matter of what if you
go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry. So last few words and wrapping
no, go
up,
ahead.
You know, our talk on mental health. Maybe all of us could wrap it up our last thought on mental health. Well,
so what
do
we do?
Yeah, we can all say something. Yeah.
Mhm. Go ahead, Wade.
Okay, you guys are going to put me up there on the first. Okay, well, I'm going to have to do this evening. It's like my heart goes out to you guys, whoever you are. That is, you know, I know it's difficult, and my thing is like, okay, the love inside of your heart I can only talk through my own experience, so just please listen.
Hey,
so the love inside of my heart for everyone, not just these people or whatever. I love everybody, you know, because everybody is wonderful. I mean, if you really look at it, it's amazing. But when you have an assault, you ever had an assault placed upon the existence of the love inside of your heart? It does hurt. I know it hurts. Sometimes I wonder if my heart's a pinata or something. You know, everybody wants to take a swing at it, you know, like there's candy in there or something, but it's sweetness. Yeah, there's sweetness in there, but I want to talk about sweetness for a second. When sweetness has an assault placed upon the existence of it, that sweet love inside your heart, it does do something else too that I wanted to mention. And it proves to you that your love is genuine and true love, and that puts that smile right back on your face so that you can keep doing what you're doing. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. You know, it's going to work out. And you have to remember something. What you do today counts for the future. And these people are part of our future, and we want to care for them just like we do for anybody else, you know, because we all need somebody to lean on.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Steph?
I want to say that thank you for everybody who is listening. And if you are, you know, suffering from mental illness, you're not alone. You know, work your plan. Understand you are important. You deserve to be loved. And for those who are have family or friends or even, you know, partner that is suffering from a mental illness, make sure that you're getting some self-care, that being as supportive as you can, but in being supportive, you also have to take care of self. And also understand that whether you have a mental illness or not, we're all human. We all have our things that are struggles. We all have our difficulties in life, and that know that we all deserve to be accepted and to be loved. But in doing that, we also have to make sure that we're getting the care that we need, support that we need, and that we're living our truth.
And a lot of times we have to believe in ourselves and pray for strength and to encourage ourselves and call up that strength, the strength that we didn't even know we had. And so a lot of times, you know, that's what we have to do. And Whitney Houston, she has a song called "I Didn't Know My Own Strength," and I'm going to play that song, and then we'll probably go to a commercial and head out.
Thank you, everybody.
With my soul, I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh,
has kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. There were so many times I wondered how I'd get through the night. I thought I took all that I could take. Didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down and I tumbled. But I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up. I hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Was not built to break. No, no. I got to know my own strength.
Love lower than low prices? Then get more ways to save at Kroger, where you can find personalized coupons, weekly deals, and rewards like fuel points. All for prices that are lower than low. On food that's fresher than fresh. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
How low in prices can you go? Will you go? You can find Kroger in stores tab under the food and drink section at Do It All in the Mall, or you can type in Kroger in the search bar and you won't have to search anymore.
Want to create your new patio before you get your new patio? With the Home Depot, you can jumpstart your spring with the latest power and the best grills around. Get free delivery and pull that new patio together with everything from furniture to spill-proof cushions. It's spring, and today is the day for doing. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
And after all we go through, with the right help, and if necessary, with the right medicines, we can get back on track. And you know what? We're going to be just fine, as sung by none other than Mary J. Blige.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me wanna let it go. Can't let this thing called love get away from you. Feel free right now, go do what you wanna do. Can't let nobody take it away from you, from me, from we. No time for moping around, are you kidding? And no time for negative vibes, cause I'm with it. My heart is gonna live my life till the mirror, mirror. Ain't worried about doing what you're gonna do. I'm a lady, so I must stay classy. I gotta keep it high, keep it together. If I want to get better,
just fine. And Let's Do It Radio. Thanks, Miss Stephanie Whitfield Lott, this evening's guest of Why Does Love Hurt, on the topic of the ins and outs of mental health and relationships. She, as well as all of our other entrepreneurs, can be found on the Clients Carousel and the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. And thank you to Wade out of California for calling in and his questions and comments. And Stephanie will be back to further the conversation with us in a couple of weeks. So please visit the homepage under Let's Do It Radio and listen to all of our episodes at your leisure while shopping in Do It All in the Mall. Please leave your comments on all the shows that you listen to so that we can, you know, better ourselves and, you know, upgrade and just, you know, make our shows better so that you guys will listen in more. And as you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up and the commission is earned on qualified purchases going back into your community where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference worldwide. So make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Donations are also welcome as well. So click on that donate button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com and contact us if you'd like to be on Let's Do It Radio, have a topic for discussion, or maybe would like to advertise your business by sending in the email to doitallinthemall@yahoo.com, or you can complete the contact us information on the homepage as well of doitallinthemall.com. And the old-fashioned way works too. You can call us by dialing either 509-406-6920 or 813-900-7911. And please, please, please tune in, Skype, listen or talk with us at 845-241-9985 Tuesdays through Fridays during these times, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And you can hear on Tuesdays our retired teacher, Janet Swartz, Keeping History Alive. And on Tuesdays of that same week, you can hear Savitri Crenshaw, the investment specialist, Think Well, Let's Prosper. And her time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 8 p.m. Central. and 9 p.m. Eastern. And Wednesday evenings of that same week, we have Stephanie Lott Whitfield, as you hear tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern with Why Does Love Hurt? Wednesdays, we have Reverend Carolyn McCullough teaching from the Bible. Thursdays, tomorrow evening, we have Hank Knapp with Sergeant Parks and keeping it real. And he's speaking on power to the people. So please tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And then Friday, we have Perry Whaley, Vitiligo, Man of Action, and Vibing with Vitiligo. And he's going to have some of his Vitiligo brothers with us during on Friday. Sunday service is listening to the guest speakers. First Sunday, we have Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Second Sunday is Dr. Ralph Steele. Third Sunday is Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Fourth Sunday is Reverend Ronnie Marshall. And fifth Sunday is Reverend Heather Lynn Andrews Watkins. So please share this information with everyone on social media, word of mouth. The bigger the crowd, the more we can do for our communities. So please, please, please share this information on social media, word of mouth, and, you know, just spread the word so we can be heard and we can, you can shop through the mall and we can get those funds so we can spread them throughout the communities, your communities, where your money matters and where you can find love, you find a good thing. And if you are both willing to fight through that mental health or both get help so you both can understand the mental illness, you know, God will help you through those things. And so we're going to close out on I Made It with Fantasia and Ty Tribute. And so thank you again for listening to us, this today's radio station of Let's Do It. Why Does Love Hurt with Stephanie Lott Whitfield.
Clap your hands up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This song is for the overcomers. Jesus.
Listen. I done made it through the storm and the rain.
Woo.
So much pressure, heartache, so much pain.
Yes, sir.
I've been broken in two pieces, maybe more. Hey.
Woo.
And so nice to make my bed right on the floor.
Yes, sir.
The enemy really tried to take me out, yeah. He knew with his best that knocked me down. But I'm still standing and throughout I've been through.
Yes, sir.
I survived it all in this because of you.
Yeah.
devil thought he had you, oh, but you're still here.
Chaka Khan, through the fire.
Heart to anyone,
Boys to Men, doing just fine. die if I ever fall in love.
The very first time that I saw your brown eyes, your lips said hello and I said hi, I knew right then you were the one. But I was caught up in physical attraction, but to my satisfaction, baby, you're more than just a fake. And if I
ever fall
in love
again,
I will be
sure that the lady is a friend.
If I say that I could be your one and only,
promise
that you'll never leave me lonely, I just wanna be the one you need. Oh baby, I just wanna be the one to serve you. Sometimes I feel as if I don't deserve you. I cherish every moment that we share. And if I
ever
the real thing.
chances on meeting new friends. You came along and made me feel new, and I'll be good to you. I know it's been hard, the hurts have been huge. Both of us suffered through love old and new.
Two people who really, really care.